Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I'm excited about all that he's doing and the people that he loves so much. I thank God for all the revelation he's been giving me lately. And, you know, I'll say this. I'll share what I can, but I'll say this. The Lord thinks of everything. And he does it from the past. He did it a long time ago. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is, Jesus is the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. The Lord saw this train wreck coming, which is sin. And he did many things to get us out of sin and out of harm's way. But we have to choose. We have to choose his words. We have to choose to follow him and follow through. And we have to go forward doing the things that God is told us to do, and he will help us. He gave us his word. His word will always link us to the best possible outcome. His word heals us. His word makes us strong. His word makes us clean. And then we can proceed with the love of God and enjoy life. And this is a standard that God has set for a long. He set this a long time ago. God loves us. Now, with all this in mind, I want you to know, as we look at 1 John, it's loaded with revelation. Now, the man that wrote keep in mind, the one God chose to write Revelation wrote 1 John. And the first book he wrote would keep us out of harm's way. And that's very important to understand. You can never get away from the living love of God. You know, but keeping in mind that the Lord is looking at a serious problem and he loves his people. He did one thing the Lord spoke to me recently. I share this. He said, when the rapture happened, not one mistake will be made. He's going to take his people. And when we think of people, we're looking at what they do compared to what the word said do. But God is always looking at the heart. And he knows how, whether the heart of man is and whether he'll keep his word or not. Some people, he told me recently, some people present themselves. They spend their life presenting themselves. They're one way at home, another way at work, another way at school, another way at church. And people are made in the image of God. And they can present, if they really want to present themselves, they can. Now, when I was a sinner, I presented myself the way I want it to be known. Now, when I got saved, one of my points of relief is I didn't have to do that anymore. Everywhere I went, I just do what's right. I didn't, you know, when I used to use foul language, I didn't want my parents to know that. And I didn't want adults I respected to know that. Only around my friends. So I was one way around my friends, one way at work. You know, it's crazy. And people are good at presenting themselves, but you can't do that with God. That will not work with Jesus Christ. God knows your heart. He see right through you. He see your intents, your motives, everything. That's why I refer people to the Ugandan pastor. He said some eye-opening things. I thank God for him. And the Lord said, if I would come to get my bride, I would have left you. And he told him why. And he was doing some of the things that was done that Jeremiah chapter 2 talked about. How when they sinned, they didn't even blush. They didn't even, you know. And his stuff, the things he was doing, you know, you have to look at it on YouTube. If it's still up, it should be still up. But the things that he allowed himself to do and think about was wrong. But he repented from all the deeds that he knew of, like most people do. But he didn't do anything about the things that was continually dividing him against God. Now, yesterday we kind of covered how darkness will take away your appetite for the things of God. We've been dealing with that for a month in the most recent broadcast. And if you who listen continually, you know these things. You've heard them. There's no reason for sin. We ended yesterday's broadcast called Holy Hatred. I love the titles God gave me. Holy Hatred. It's based on when John said in chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, love not the world. Well, guess what? If you obey that, he's telling you to hate the world. He's telling you to hate the world system. Now, he's not talking about the people. He's talking about the deeds of the world, the actions of the world, the way of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Get rid of these things and junk. When you're in the end of heaven, those things will not be there, and you won't want to leave heaven because those things are not there. Now, people that love those things, they're going to have a problem with God. And I've been slowly learning some things about people. When they really don't want to walk in the love of God, there's a problem. When people that's the last thing on the list of so many people. You talk about loving. If you love a politician, you know, I love people. I love everybody. And that's my standard. Now, I don't turn it on and off. I don't love people to my advantage. I love every soul. When something happens to people that I know, I pray for them. I care about them. I love them. When people are a nuisance, and sometimes people are a nuisance, and I know they're a nuisance, but I love their soul anyway. Some people will do you wrong and talk about you. I love them too. Some people will get mad and scratch your car. I love that one. I love them too. Some people don't understand you and don't try to. I love them too. So, you can imagine, see, when people are frustrated with somebody, they want you to be frustrated with them. They're looking at it like you need to be on my side, and you're not. And I can't be on there. I'm not trying to be on somebody's side. My goal in life is to walk in love with people according to the revelation that I asked the Lord to give me. I asked him to teach me how to love his people, and I practice it. And I'm not going to stop. And I told a real good friend of mine, I said, I got a rule, two of them. I don't hate anybody, and I don't hate people for others. Now, so when it's election time, for instance, you may not like a candidate, but I don't hate the candidates you hate. Some people hate the candidate, and if you don't hate the candidate that I hate, then you can't be my friend. And that's how people act. I mean, this is deep in their heart. They mean it. They want you to be just, if there's a boss, anybody that offended them, they want you to be offended against that person, and I don't do that. So it's inevitable that I'm going to rub people the wrong way. Well, guess what? Jesus died for... See, if you study John 3:16, God so loved the world, and he's talking about the people, not the system, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him will live and not die. They'll have everlasting life. He did that for all of us. And we were not first-class citizens, we were not stand-up citizens when he did this. Some of us were very vile, and we did things we shouldn't have been doing. Then we get saved, and we thank God that he saw something in us, that he loved us in spite of how we were. And those that really love God appreciate it. Those that love the world, they don't appreciate it. They come to a point that they forgot that they needed a Savior in the first place. Just like 2 Peter chapter 2 talked about in verse 10. They forgot they needed a Savior. But see, when you appreciate the works of God and what Jesus has done for us, you know, it makes you want to tell other people. It makes you want to love other people. It makes you, it did me. I decided to, every time the Lord blessed me in a, with more joy, more understanding, more knowledge, more counsel, more whatever he give me, and the peace that I walk in, I want that for, that's my desire for everybody. But guess what? People don't receive it all the time. Some people receive it and appreciate it, when some people think it's stupid. And, or they act like they think it's stupid. They act like, well, that ain't, that's like giving a pig a pearl necklace. What am I supposed to do with this shiny object you gave me? It's not corn. It's not mud. I can't wallow in it. And they don't care about it. And they're happy that way. Well, it's the same thing with the, you teach people that God loves them. Some people get mad at you for saying something like that. And some people, they don't see it. Or some people wish it could be true for them. Some people, once they believe, but before they believe, they act all kind of ways. It's very important to take God at his word. And God loves us. He cares about us in every way and capacity. Everything about our lives, he wants to be with us. You know, it's just no different than your children. See, some children, they leave the house, they hardly visit anymore. They have children. They may move to another state and call every once in a while, or when they want something. They treat their parents like a bank, or they don't really, they're not involved. So, but healthy families, you know, they want the grandparents involved with their children. They come around and talk, and they talk about the fun times that they, you know, the times that they had that were good, and the grandparents or the parents are involved with their grown children, and the grown children are involved with their parents. They want to be around each other. And if they have to move out of state, you know, life happens, and sometimes you have to. A job, or your spouse may have to move, or whatever. But they call, and they talk, and they visit. And the parents come up and spend a month with them, or whatever. But some people don't do that. You know, if they visit at all, they might visit on a holiday or every other, you know, it's different. Well, God wants to be involved in our lives. I want God involved in my life. I want it. You know, he lives in me and he's with me. But where I go, he go. But I love talking to him. Some people have received the Holy Spirit and never, ever talk to him. They act like, he's there, but they act like he's not. Now, if the Lord is with me and I have questions, I'm going to ask questions. I pray and I ask questions. I don't act like he's not going to answer me. I ask him hard questions. I don't just ask him easy questions that I know the answer to. I ask him what I don't know and what I do know. Because when he give me an answer, I see so much more. I say, Lord, this is what I got in mind. We already know what I'm thinking. I ask him questions anyway that I may think I know the answer to see where I'm at. Because one time he told me, he said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. And he said that after he told me something, and I said, I saw how it could help my life. I said, Lord, you know I need to know that a long time ago. How come you didn't tell me then? He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. But now that I asked, when my way did not work, then I asked, then he gave me the answer. So I learned to start asking questions before I make decisions, not just major ones, but minor decisions as well. And I ask for insight. And I do respect professional opinion. The professional opinion of doctors, the professional opinions of lawyers, the professional opinion of other mechanics beside me. I'm a mechanic myself, but I still value the opinions of other mechanics because they may have run into something that I'm yet to run into. And I have been spared by the advice of other mechanics several times. And when the North Star came out, I didn't know about it, but my buddy JoJo, he said, you can't take the heads off that motor in the car. You got to take it off. You got to separate it from the transmission, and then you got to take the heads off. And then you got to get I found out from other mechanics, you have to get the aluminum block. You have to put time certs in it or it'll never torque right. Now, two mechanics helped me with that problem I had. I didn't know that. I never worked on one before. I worked on it. I didn't work on one before. So I didn't know that it was as bad as that. But for some reason, they knew it and they told me. And, you know, I respect the professional opinions of others. I respect the professional opinions of pastors that have been doing the work of God for years. They may not know what I know, whether they do or not. That's irrelevant, but they know what they know. See, just because somebody don't know what I know, that doesn't mean that they're not valuable. And I thank God for what they have. Now, if you've been around the Lord and you love Him at all, you're going to learn some things. That's just the way it is. So, as I'm around the Holy Spirit, I want to know, I want Him involved in my life. Just like the couple I was talking about. Some couples don't care if their parents are involved or not, for whatever reason. But especially if you had love, some people had loving parents and they still don't care whether they're involved in their life or not. But I want my relationship with the Lord. I want God involved in everything I do. I don't want to do something. I'm not trying to hide something from God because I don't want to hide anything from. I don't want to do nothing that I would need to hide something from. I don't want to do something in the dark. God ain't in the dark. I don't want to be in the dark. I want to be in the light. I don't want anything in my blind spot, and I know I got them. And that's why he see everything. He see things I can't. So that's why I love those Charles Capps style confessions. Now I say Charles Capps confessions because he taught men to confess the word. So where I stop, where I'm limited, God ain't limited. I say I will do all that's in His heart so that I'll be on board when He tell me something. So I'll be alert when He has something to say. You know, one time I called my daughter to come here and she ignored me. Now I'm not blaming Shana. I love my daughter. She was just a kid. And then I whispered. I kept calling. She didn't turn around or nothing. And then I whispered, "You want some ice cream?" Then she said, "Yeah, Dad." She yelled now. And I see she knew she was caught. She's just a kid. But she helped me that day. I said, you know, if the Lord says something that I want to hear, I don't second guess it. But if it's something I'm not familiar with, used to, or not sure about, then, you know, I want to say, well, did he really say that? I said, no, I'm not going to do him like that. You know, that helped me out when she did that. Because foolishness is bound in a kid, and guess what? I'm God's kid. And sometimes he'd say things, I said, wait a minute. I believe I heard him say something, but that's not really what I want to hear. And then you're tempted to say, well, maybe he didn't say it. But I learned this about the Lord. If he said it's very important, check it out. Look into it, investigate it. At least investigate it with the intent to yield. So if it's something that I wasn't looking for, didn't want, and I heard him say it, and if it came from God, it always makes sense. It may not register in your mind as good sense, but you don't know everything. I say, Lord, tell me about it. I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss an opportunity to do something that needs to be done. Now, when the Lord when he brings things to me, he's helping me to do my job. He's helping me to not fall in a ditch. He's helping me in many ways. Now, he's never had me to do something that didn't work. Every time he tell me something to do, when I yield, I am overjoyed that I followed through. That I look to the point that I look forward to the next thing that he's going to ask me to do. And I don't leave things to happenstance, to chance. That's why I say everything that's not like Jesus got to go, because darkness is a restraint. It will hold you, it will keep you from God's best, and that's not necessary. So the Lord thought of things a long time ago. He put things in motion to help us because he loves us and he cares about us. Now, 1 John chapter 3, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Now the world, this time, is talking about the people that love the world, the people that's part of the world. I'm going to read it again. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it thinks different, because it knows him not." And the world is in opposition against God. The appetites of the world destroys your appetite for God. And John explained that in the first and second chapter very well. Verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now that's powerful. That scripture used to give me relief, and I'm going to explain why. Anything that I don't get right, anything that I don't understand, this is the way I was taught to perceive that scripture. Anything that I missed out on in my life, as I was trying and as I was endeavoring to know God, everything that I missed, everything that was in my blind spot would be corrected when I see him as he is. And guess what? That's a fact. But I'm very motivated to get all I can now. I want God to teach me not only the stuff I want to know, things I need to know, things that's hard to receive, things that will help me. If I was in heaven and I saw and I looked around and experienced his love, and things work easier because there's no resistance in heaven. And then the next thought would be, I wish I had that kind of knowledge on earth. Well, guess what? I can. All I have to do is yield. If you can trust God, you can do greater things. Jesus said, "He that believe will do greater works than me." And he did some high standard works when he was here. Now, if you yield yourself, now this is the message I've been giving people for years. If you follow God, if you yield to him, I wrote all kind of words about this and all kind of, only thing I didn't do was sing it. The Lord gave me all kind of writings that promote you, what happens if you follow God. See, God evaluates everything. A lot of people don't know God as the one that evaluates everything before he speaks. He thinks of everything. Then he speaks. And those that are faithful and follow through, it always exceeds their expectation over time. Sometimes people think if it don't happen in a year, well, I miss God. Well, if it don't happen in a decade, I miss God. If it don't happen in 3 weeks, I miss God. If it don't happen to my standards, to my liking, to my satisfaction, it was just a fluke. But guess what? If you stick with what God is saying, it takes time. I find myself currently thanking God for all. That was decades I didn't understand where I was going. Even though I was following God, I said, "Lord, you're giving me information and knowledge." And I used to feel upset because I didn't have anybody to talk to. I had very few people that I could probably count on my left hand that I could talk to about the knowledge of God. And I sometimes tried to give it to pastors and ministers I love, and I would say a few things to see if it'll whet their appetite, see if they would response, see if they would want to know. I would try to give them clues. Some people seem to get offended or embarrassed because they couldn't do it. I don't know. I'm going by what it seemed like. I don't like to say what happened. You know, I don't like to judge a person's character. But I'm going to tell you something about the knowledge of God. It's just like walking into a prayer room where people have drawn near to the Lord. And in the presence of God, in His revealed presence, you see yourself as you are. Well, the Word does the same thing. When you love God and your conversation is towards God, people will respond differently. And sometimes people were getting, you know, it seemed to people to be in more of a competitious mode, and they'd leave. They'd end the conversation and they didn't want it anymore. Then there were those that wanted to know, and they asked questions, and they it was a good conversation. And then the Holy Spirit get involved and give me more knowledge. See, when I'm around people that want to know what God is doing, and they have a hunger, they pull the Word from you. And see, I'm already being clued into something. And as I talk about it, if I'm around the right person, they want it. It's like the Holy Spirit, a door opens, and He have me saying things that just edify them. Because I know that they're sincere. They want it. Every time I'm around a person that love God and they're sincere like that, the Holy Spirit draws near to them. And I'm a vessel. And I can tell that He's feeding them. He's giving them information. If I'm around somebody that has a harder heart, they have no appetite for those things. They don't. And I call them again. They don't answer the phone. And if they ever do, they keep the conversation short. But when I'm around people that want to know God, that you know, some people, they want to know God, but they have no spiritual strength. And the enemy will shut it down on their end. Now, while I'm talking to them, they'll talk and they'll ask questions. But then the enemy will bombard them and keep them from talking to me from their end. I can tell you all kind of scenarios. There are people, it goes right back to the parable of the sower. If they have a hard heart, they have no appetite. If they have stones, too many stones and distractions, they may listen and rejoice. Then they go right back to square one. That's their normal mode of life. Square one, that's something new I came up with. That's where people live. They go back to where they were living. It's like if you turn the air conditioner off, the house go back to being hot again. Or if it's a cold day and you turn the heater off, it goes back to being cold again. Just a matter of time. But those who keep the Word, they want more of it. They want more. And you can always tell because hours will go by. And the Holy Spirit is still giving knowledge and understanding. When people appreciate His knowledge, He give more. Now He give me knowledge according to what I need and what He need me to know. And I seek after Him about it. I try to make sure I get what He want me to have for what I do. And then I have a lot of curiosities. And I don't really bother. I present what I want to know to the Lord. But whatever He gives me, without me asking, that goes on the top shelf. That's more important than my curiosities. But He always answers my curiosity. It's just a matter of time. I just keep what I need for His people first. Whatever He alert me to, that goes on. That's the most important. Because I'm going to live forever. I'm going to always get a chance to satisfy my curiosities. But I can't always have the day. This is the day that I can work. This is where I want to do what's necessary. And it's all made possible by the living love of God. Now John said in verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and endure not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, the same thing happens when you receive revelation from the Holy Spirit. You're receiving knowledge and concepts, and now you see what God said about it. It's just like when you read the Old Testament, men did what they wanted to do. Then when God sent the prophet, you knew how God felt about it. You don't have to see Jesus face to face to know who he is. You have to receive his word. Whether you see him or not is irrelevant. If you receive his word, you get the same conclusion. Verse 3, and every man that has this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, some people take that, well, if I know Jesus is coming, I'm going to stay out of trouble. That's true. But if I know Jesus is coming, I'm going to get to learn something, and I'm going to become a better master of the life that I love in him. I'm going to be able to be effective in his name. That's very important to me. And I want to do all that's in his heart without fail. He said, whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sins not. And he meant it just like he said it. And I'm closing with this. Whosoever sins has not seen him, neither known him. So whoever abides in him sins not. He said, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. People do what they do on purpose, whether it's righteousness or sin. So we need to know God and sin not, and do what's right on